Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupos.
And Sister Amon.
Sister Amon, did we travel down the road today?
We did. We had a lot going on today.
Yeah, we did. We hope you're all doing well. It's time for some edification. We got up this morning. The Lord gave us another day. We hit the road after our preach yesterday. We'll talk about that. And we got to our next town. Did we do some witnessing on the way, Sister Amon?
We did, yes.
Talk about that.
Well, we were in a gas station parking lot, and a man walked up to the van, and he had some questions. You could tell he kind of had an attitude.
He was really mad. He saw a sign on the back that said, churches are lying. And I tried to talk to him, and all of a sudden he got all fleshly and said, well, I believe in once saved, always saved. I got off drugs. And I said, sir, that's a false doctrine. And he got fleshly, and I said, you need to go away. And he wouldn't go away. I had to step outside the van and go away, sir. You're bothering me. Go away, heretic. Go away. And he eventually left. The funny thing, what happened with the gospel card?
Oh, he walked around the front. I had him on video because he was pretty fleshly. And he flipped the gospel card up and it landed right back on his truck, like by the bumper or the radiator or something.
I think it landed in the grill by the radiator. And when he took off, it went with his truck.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny.
A few minutes after that, Brother Tupos went in to get some water.
Yep.
And while he was in there, I was in the van and I had the door open and I was getting some lunch ready or whatever. And then this man walked up and he said, I just want to thank you for everything that you're doing.
Yep.
So we had a hater and we had a thanker.
Right.
And this is interesting. I gave him a gospel card. I said, my husband would love to hear from you. He'll be right out. But the man, he had his vehicle parked where it was blocking people and he jumped back in and he took off. Well, next thing you know, he's coming back around the corner. And he came back over to talk some more. And Brother Akuo walked by, and right shortly after, Brother Tupos came back, and then they ended up talking to him.
Yeah, we got to talk to him. A lot of truth went out. Now, there were things that he definitely had wrong, and we encouraged him to go to the scriptures.
Yeah.
When I was in the gas station, you're going to like this one. I see this guy come walking in a full black robe. I mean, the robe was so long, you couldn't see his feet. And I saw a little white thing, and he walked by me, and I said, sir, gospel good news. And I handed it to him. He goes, what's that? He looked like he was rather disheveled. And I said, gospel good news. And he goes, oh. I said, how does a man find eternal life, sir? It's right in front of the coffee machine in this. I was getting ice in there. And he goes, well, you got to repent and believe on God. And he goes, there's probably more to it than that too. And he started wandering and looking around. And I said, sir, don't you want to talk about the gospel? And he goes, well, I'm trying to get breakfast real quick. My wife's waiting for me, and he's looking through all the stuff for breakfast. This guy looked like a Pharisee with a robe all the way to his feet. I said, sir, are you Catholic? He goes, no, I'm a deacon in the Orthodox Church. And I said, sir, don't you want to talk about the gospel? And he looked at me, and he goes, I really have to get going. And I said, check out my website. It would help you. And he just turned around like, nah, and he walked away. Pretty amazing. I'm sure when he's in church, he's a lot more attentive, but when he meets people, the gospel has no interest to him.
We find that often, don't we?
Yeah.
For people who are like pastors and leaders and stuff.
And then we drove down the road, hit a couple stores, and you witnessed to some ladies?
Yeah, driving through the parking lot. And there was some, father was putting things in his truck, and he had his two little children in the back, and they were just like waiting for him. So we honked the horn and were waving at him. And a woman looked up, and she was waving and saying amen as we drove by. So Brother Tupos dropped me off, and I walked back and witnessed to her.
That was awesome.
And then we went into...
She was receptive.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was a good talk. And then we went into a thrift store, and as we were coming out, when we walked in, a woman was sitting on the bench there. And I thought, if she's there when we come back out, because she was on her phone, I'd give her a gospel card, and I did. And her and I talked for 6 or 7 minutes, and she was waiting for her sister. So that was an interesting one. I gave her a lot of truth.
Yep, and then we came out of another store, and there was a man sitting in his car playing worldly music. I noticed him. So when we came out, I was hoping he was still there. And Brother Kuo walked up and handed him a gospel card. And at first he said, no, no thanks. And Brother Kuo said, it's a key to eternal life. And the guy said, okay, give it to me. And Brother Kuo walked up and gave it to him. And he took it and he thanked him. And I find it's interesting. The religious people, we generally, I would say 90% of the times, end up, you would say, spiritually warring with. We disagree. We have to rebuke them. They go away mad. The worldly people often take the gospel and they go, thanks a lot, man. And they go and they consider it. So that just kind of goes with the territory, what we do.
Kind of like our preach yesterday.
Yep, in this life. Yeah, and let's move on to that. Praise God. We did our preach outside of a Smoky Mountain Jubilee. It was an independent Baptist so-called revival.
If any of you sisters know about independent Baptists, yeah, they're kind of like the most rabid of the
Yeah, they're pretty wicked. They had security guards all over. We were outside on the public sidewalk, never threatened, never went in, never interrupted anything. They ended up calling more police on us. The first police officer was nice, but then he turned kind of iffy. The second and third cop showed up, told me I could only stand underneath a light pole or a flagpole and preach there. And I said, oh, no. I said, I have First Amendment rights. We had to work through and push through all that, and I just kept preaching. Ultimately, they said, well, when you get arrested, you'll find out what you're getting arrested for. And I said, what are you going to arrest me for? What law am I breaking? Eventually, they just left, and they said, Sister Amen.
They did. It was just a bully tactic.
Yep, it was a bully tactic. And so we preached on, and Brother Akuo said, let me see if I can get this right. Three words he said from his young believer view that would describe these Baptists. He said, arrogant, prideful, and hypocritical. Because they're arrogant because a lot of them tell you, I'm a Baptist, I'll always be one, you can never change my mind, I'm a proud Baptist. They're prideful, not only in how they look, they dress like peacocks, they show themselves off in makeup and jewelry, the men in skinny pants and pointy decorative shoes, but their pride is on the inside because they say, we're once saved, always saved, and we'll never change our mind when the scriptures teach clearly against once saved, always saved. And then what, arrogant, prideful, and then hypocritical. They carry their Bibles around like it's solid gold to them, but when you ask them to open the Bible, what do, Sister Amen?
Yeah, they slough you off.
Yep.
There was a lot of women, and I know it was the men with you guys also, they'd pick up their Bible and kind of wag it back and forth
yep.
at me, and I'd be like, they say, we read our Bible. I was like, you got to do more than read it. You have to obey it. You
yeah.
got to repent and obey it.
I yeah.
mean, you brothers were saying that too.
So we didn't have a lot of good conversations there. We didn't expect we would. We want to drive people to the website, to God's word, and to the truth if there's any seekers. But two young teenagers and two women, maybe middle-aged, walked by, weren't even part of the Baptist thing, stopped, listened. We witnessed to them. They said, yeah, we agree with you. And the one young guy said, yeah, we go to a church. He said, we see it's sin. We probably should leave it. We understand what you're saying. I think we might have been there just for them, Sister Amen.
Well, I got to say this real quick. There was a lot of really uppity women there, very prideful.
Oh, yeah.
And none of them really wanted anything to do with talking. But there was a group of them I remember walking by, and they were kind of like laughing. And you could see they're doing the facial mocking and stuff. But there was a young girl about 12 or 13. Out of all of them, she made a point to look right at me, smiled at me, and looked me up and down. So maybe that will be an impression someday that I smiled back at her. I tried to give her a gospel card, but they were all
yeah.
in their way and stuff. So you think of something like that, that could be a huge impression on a young woman as she grows older and maybe starts seeing through.
Yeah. And real quick, go check out, Sister Amen's got it linked, go check the preach, go check out the testing. Once saved, always saved. Damnable doctrine. Why? They're convinced that they've got it locked up and they don't have to obey God. They don't have to walk in holiness. They're not living in fear and trembling with their salvation, fearful for the Lord. They're arrogant. They're prideful. They get up there. The pastors get up there and give their jumping up and down, hooting, hollering, yelling. I asked one of the leaders, hey, do the men go to Walmart like that? You can see the video, and I kind of mocked them. Do they go to Walmart yelling, hooting, and hollering when they have to return something? And
yeah.
No, it's a bunch of spiritual foolishness. And they do it in a revival-like event where they all get down on their knees and they're called out to submit to the Lord. And then when they're done with that, they wash their hands, they go to the glutton buffet. We saw a lot of gluttony there too. And then they just go back and live their lives. The pastor that runs a college puts on worldly, carnal youth camps where they paint themselves up and do sports and war games. And they win prizes and they act all arrogant. So it's just wicked, corrupt churchianity. Go watch it and you'll see why we stand against it, because it's damning people's souls.
Right.
Anything else on that, Sister Amen?
No, I don't think so. They can go see a lot yep. of videos and audios on the post.
Yep, there. A lot of videos, a lot of audios. Why do we do it? To reach the people, well, to glorify God, number one, to reach the people right in front of us. But now they're marked on the internet. Anybody in the weeks to come that searches those events, or if somebody goes, hey, is the Baptist really biblical? Is this event biblical? And if they type in the words exposed or truth or whatever, the Lord can guide them to our testing that will help people to the truth. That's why we do it.
And who knows if some of those that went in there,
yep.
maybe like that young woman, might find it and look at it and go, wow, look at how they were treated out
yeah.
there.
Yeah, one old guy walked by and I said, sir, why are the, I told him about the false gospel. I said, why are the Baptists so worldly? He was an old man like me. He looked at me and he goes, That's a good question, and it's true. He goes, I can't answer it. Mm-hmm. And then he walked by and high-fived all the worldly-looking young men with their skinny pants and their pride and vanity. And it's almost like they mock God, saying, we don't have to do that. We're once saved, always saved.
Yep.
Like God owes them salvation because they said a prayer and got water dipped one day.
You know, the once saved, always saved people, they're the most prideful, they are. Religious pride.
Think about it.
Oh, yeah, they got it.
Think about it. They got it, and Jesus is their get-out-of-hell card, and they don't have to live in righteousness and holiness any longer.
They're
so,
like the most vicious.
Yep, amen. So check out that post, and then that leads us right to our thought of the day. Ready?
Yeah.
Torn in two.
Right.
So torn in two. This came about because I was talking to Sister Amen. Her heart was kind of the same. Brother Akuo's, ready? We felt like we were torn in two after yesterday's event. Here's why. And this happens often. Righteous anger over smug, prideful trampling of Jesus' blood by people that claim him. In this case, it was once saved, always saved. So we have that emotion, righteous anger, which is a biblical emotion to have, as long as it's righteous anger. And then the other side, we're torn in two, sadness and compassion, knowing what's coming for these lost people, lest they turn and repent. What do you say to that, Sister Amen?
Yeah, darkness, weeping, and gnashing of teeth. How can you not?
I don't wish that
have
on
compassion for somebody like that, but you got to be very careful to walk in the spirit, yeah, and the flesh on it and balance that out. Yeah.
I don't wish that on Adolf Hitler, the worst murderer in the world. Why would I wish it on these Baptist people?
Oh, I know. So, yeah, you kind of get torn in two. You got to be very careful how you walk while you're out here doing this ministry.
Yeah.
We see it over and over and over.
It's an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, it can be. Yeah.
Let me give you a scripture verse on righteous anger. John 2, 14 through 17. And found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he, Jesus, had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the money changers, the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. Picture that. Jesus with a whip on people, on animals, flipping tables over. There's your long-haired, soft, feminized Jesus that never does anything in righteous anger or in judgment. Yeah, tell me about it. The same Jesus is coming back in flaming fire, but we talk about that all the time.
Yeah.
Verse 16, and he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence out, make not my Father's house into a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered what was written, the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. That's actually a prophecy in the Old Testament. So Jesus had righteous anger over the people making money. By the way, at this Baptist event, they're selling t-shirts, Jesus t-shirts, and the pastor sells all kinds of books and t-shirts and everything in God's name.
Yep.
Jesus would make a whip for their backs and turn over the tables.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And then I have one for, well, wait, maybe Sister Amen, you go. Do you have one for righteous anger?
No, actually, I don't.
Okay. I thought you did.
I do at the end.
Okay, well, go ahead and read that one here.
Yeah, I can. Matthew 25, 32 and 33.
Oh, yeah.
This is kind of what's going to be happening.
Yep.
And, of course, it makes you wonder about people, you know. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left.
Yep, and they
and
go.
We know what happens.
They go out into outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. So there's that wrath side. And here I got a verse on compassion. Kind of our emotions get kind of torn in two. We love people, but we love God more. And so it's always a pull on your emotions when you do what we do in street ministry. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. I'm going to be doing a teaching on that gentle. People twist that out. Like you always have to talk like this and never get bold with anybody. That's not what it means. I'll be doing a teaching on that. Apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God preventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they might recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who had taken captive by him at his will. Real quick, that actually is aiming at people that want to come out of their sin, people that go, help me, am I in false ways? In Titus 3, Paul says, warn a heretic once, twice, reject him. So you got to stay in context on how we treat people. It's seekers. Mm-hmm. We entreat them to come. We help them. We sit with them. We teach them. People that trample the blood and teach false doctrine and deny the truth, they get a rebuke.
Right.
Got any other verses for us, Sister Amon, on this?
Yeah. I did want to say, as they get a rebuke, and we may have righteous anger, we're still balancing that sadness, because it's really hard to sit there and witness with somebody, and they might be adamantly pushing back in their sin, and you can have a righteous anger, but on the other side, you're looking at it like, that's a human being, that's a soul that is going to burn in eternity forever, and it's like, that's, you got to be mature to be able to deal with things like that.
Yeah, that's very true.
And not let it sway you.
Yeah, that's very true.
So I actually have three verses.
Go for it.
But you want me to just read them all?
Yep.
Okay, here's one I thought was, I like this one.
Edify your sisters.
Yeah, Philippians 1, 22, or I'm sorry, 23 and 24. For I am in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And I know he's talking to the believers there. But I like thinking about that, thinking maybe the Lord has us more work here to do for somebody who might end up being a believer.
Amen. So what we're striving for, the lost sheep, or the sheep that will be found.
Yeah, because I know Brother Tupos can vouch for this. We would rather be with the Lord than here in this season.
This is not an easy life out here.
Yeah. And now I got two of them that kind of go with each other, Acts 7, 59 and 60. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. That's Stephen saying that. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep.
Yeah.
I think about that.
That's a humble
Even
heart.
Even in his death, he was thinking about them. And then Luke 23:34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. So I think about that, you know, as we witness to these people and they call the police and they might call us mean and judgmental and hateful and legalist and all these
wicked things. And get in our face and grab our signs.
They've done all kinds of things that I won't even go into here.
Spit on us.
And push us and things, whatever it is that they do. We're still looking at them as a soul, not the flesh and the person that we're dealing with.
Yeah, and can I go back to the Stephen thing? Go read, I think it's Acts 8, 7 or 8. What was that? I think it's 7.
This was 7.
Yeah. Go read Acts 7 right before what Sister Amon read. Stephen actually rebukes him and says, oh, you stiff-necked people. If you go, he actually rebukes them right before he says, Father, forgive them for what they're about to do. He calls them stiff-necked and how you always turn away from the Lord. Right before they kill him, he rebukes them. So there's that balance that we have to walk between righteous anger and people that are trampling the truth of God and making a mockery of our Lord. Did you have it, Sister Amon?
I have it, 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye.
There you go. He rebukes him, and then right before he's ready to die, he gives the grace and the mercy.
That's a good point. So, that's a picture of a good balance.
Yeah.
Like God likes a balanced
weight. Just.
A just way.
Yeah, violence means injustice. I'm going to do a teaching on that. And Paul was like that too. Paul said a heretic that won't leave his ways, reject him, warn him and reject him. And that people that could be pulled out, I got a verse on that, pulled out of the snare, those are the people we want to try to pull out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other verses, Sister Amon?
I think that's what I have. Yeah, that's about what I have here.
That is, we wanted to cover that. That is our walk that we have to do every day between... There can be righteous anger. There can be rebuking. We're told to rebuke those that are in sin so that others may see and fear, 1 Timothy 5. But then be gentle and be kind. Kind means to be caring about people, not cookies and coffee and donuts. Kind means I care about you. That means telling people. Jesus loved the rich man in Mark 10 and told him what he lacked. So kindness is telling people what they lack. That's why we go to do that, to warn people. But that's the kind of walk that we have to balance ourselves in between can have righteous anger, rebuking, and then preaching the truth and entreating people and then administering the truth to people that will listen and hear and trying to get them to come.
Right. And I'm thinking, everybody listening, those who are true saints of God who are striving after him in holiness, you're all going to have to deal with that too, but The only difference is maybe different levels and volumes of it. We big volumes of it out here. You may have lesser volumes, but it's still just as important for you to pay attention.
Yeah, it happens to us every day and a lot on every weekend when we do events.
Yeah, so we're kind of used to it all the time. Yeah. But you who might not get that all the time, it's something to think about and pray to the Lord to give you that balance in between there.
This is the war we're in that Ephesians talks about, the spiritual battles. And this is why Jesus said, you'll be hated.
Oh, yeah.
Because we stand for his truth. We won't compromise. We stand for his light. The light shines and reproves the darkness. And people are like, get that light out of my face. And they can't stand in the light of God.
Yep.
Yeah. This also reminds me of people you separate from. Ready? People that over time show their true colors. They do wicked things and they lie. And this can cause you to have righteous anger over their accusing false ways when you've always tried to do much for them. But you also have compassion, you forgive them, and you hope and pray they either repent or in some cases need to be born again in the first place to find new life because God's wrath is coming and we don't want that for anyone. So even in separating from people, you have that situation that you have to deal with.
Right.
And I think my last verse here, this kind of sums up both. Ready? Jude 1, or Jude is one chapter, verses 22 through 25. And some having compassion, making a difference, others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God and Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion, power, both now and forever, or both now and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Anything else on that, Sister Amma? The kind of being torn apart sometimes, torn in half?
Well, I think if you go read James, he says, if you lack wisdom, ask the Lord and he'll give it to you. He'll give you wisdom on how to discern righteous anger, how to discern the compassion on people, and give you the wisdom and the strength and the power to stay right in the middle where you need to be.
Yeah. I laid down last night and I was kind of broken a little bit last night. I was sad and sorrowful to see all these people carrying their Bibles, believing they just have to say a prayer and they're going to go to heaven no matter what. I was sorrowful and I had some righteous anger and I had to ask God to help heal my heart over it. And I woke up this morning and I felt better than I did when I went to bed after praying about it. And then we went out into the world and we started witnessing.
Amen.
And God puts us right back to work. So you can be torn apart always, but God always mends you back together. And I think it's like a cut or a wound or a bone. I think maybe sometimes I think we heal up stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Having been through everything we've been through.
Oh, definitely.
All these trials and tribulations build persistence and endurance. And
press right through, yeah.
Amen, amen. Well, I think that's all I got. Anything else, Sister Amma?
Nope, that's what I have. Love to you all.
We got one of our favorite things coming up tonight. A rainy night.
Yeah, it says it's going to rain, yeah.
Going to rain all night. We love sleeping to the rainy nights. And then tomorrow, we'll see what it's going to be, depending upon the weather and what we're going to be doing. We got some plans for the weekend. We'll share those as it comes, so let's see what happens.
Amen. Praise God.
All right. Strive on. Hold fast. Remember, fall on the side of Christ always. His word, his truth, his spirit, not on the side of your flesh.
Right. Amen.
Love y'all.
May God be praised.